Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Give us something from Your throne for our lives, in Jesus' name. Today we're going to continue in the series about the happiness of the believer, the believer's happiness. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 146. The believer cannot look for happiness, but can find it. The way the believer finds happiness is to delight himself in the Lord and seek first His kingdom. When God is everything, not just a part, there are some people God is an important part of their lives, but He is not everything in their life. And then there are some people God is everything in their life and nothing else much matters. When you have God as everything in your life, then you will find happiness, because then certain things will happen that produce happiness in the believer. And the Bible tells us what these things are. And one of them we will talk about today. In Psalm 146 and verse 5, the Word of God says, "Happy is he that had the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord." Now, last week we talked about the first part of that verse. Today we're going to talk about the second part, because there are two things that are given there. The God of Jacob is his help. We've already covered that. Now today, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Now the word hope there is from the Hebrew word seber, and it means a confident and assured expectation. My confident and assured expectation is not in a thing or in an answer. My confident and assured expectation is not in a person. My confident and an assured expectation is in God. Because any other place, if I put my confident expectation, it will fail me. But it will not fail me when my confident expectation is placed in God. And that is a place where it not only will not fail me, but it cannot fail me. Because God cannot fail. Christ does not fail. However, in Jeremiah 17:5, there is another side to this that some people try to live in. And this is, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh the flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord." That word cursed is erer, and it means to bind, to make powerless, and ineffectual. So the person who trusts in man, himself included, or in another person, any man, me or you, that person is cursed. And what it means is that God will make sure that he enters into bondage to that misplaced trust of another person or himself. He actually enters into a bondage to the wrong thing that he trusts in. And as it fails him, he tries to trust it more. There was an Israeli king who did that. And God said he did right before God, Amaziah. He did right before God, but not with a perfect heart. And in the end, Amaziah trusted in the God of the people he defeated, because he trusted in man more than in God. And so, if I trust in me, in man more than in God, the Word of God says, I have no power in my life or any circumstance. Where does that? I have no faith, I have no peace for any circumstance. If I trust in man, if I look for my provision in a person, myself or you, I will have no power, no peace. I will be in bondage to it, and I will be completely ineffective. that thing that I trust in is ineffective. So I look for an answer, I look for a satisfaction, I look for a provision, I look for fulfillment, whatever it may be, and I look for it in man, me or you. And it is ineffective. It does not work. But now I am in bondage to it. And usually that's because my emotions went into that thing also. Because that's why I trusted my emotions led me there. Sometimes my emotions are that I have a big ego. And I think I know many things. And I think I can do many things. But Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But, he said, through me, you can do all things. Because he strengthens me. So here are my options. I can do nothing apart from God, or I can do everything with God. Those are my options. Take your pick. You have the choice. My advice is choose the second, do all things with God. Why? Because then it is effective. Then your life has meaning and purpose. Then you have satisfaction and fulfillment. Do you understand? That makes me happy. This puts me into circumstances and it puts me in a place in my heart and in my life where I am happy. Because I have God's fulfillment in it. And it is effective and it is powerful. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." So as I have this hope, the hope that is in my Savior, the confident assurance and expectation, then I purify myself because I do not look for satisfaction anywhere else. I draw nearer and nearer and nearer to God, and I look for no satisfaction anywhere except the one place that is actually able to satisfy me. Because I have this hope. And so I draw near to God. And He satisfies. It is because I have a confident assurance and expectation. What do I have an assurance and expectation in? I have an assurance and expectation in His Word. In His character. In His promises. In His faithfulness. In His mercy. In His love for me, in His gentleness, in His kindness, in His tenderness, in His meekness and humility. And I have a confident expectation in those things in God. It's really very simple. It's really very simple. Life with God is easy. Life gets hard when I try to do it something apart from God. That's where it gets complicated. I go to the old sin nature and life becomes complicated. I stay in the Spirit of God. I get Spirit filled through the Word of God. I draw near to God. I have faith. I have faith obedience. And life is very simple. Problems come when I walk away from God. Problems go away when I come to Him. It's very simple. It's not difficult. It's not complicated. It's easy. It is easier than the way the world does things. And it is much more satisfying. The world is not a happy place. This is why you have these people like actresses and actors. They get married 10 times and they still find no satisfaction. Because it is the world. It is natural thinking. It is the world. It is not a happy place. They are looking for happiness, but they do not find it. They reject the one place where they can find it. And so they never find it. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19, "For the law made nothing perfect." It's not in my performance. It's not in what I can do. It's not in the law. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. You see, when I have that hope from God, that confident expectation, it produces something in my life. It produces the righteousness of God in me, just like with Abraham. So that better hope is the direction I move in, just like Abraham. And I trust Him even when I cannot see. I trust Him, just like Abraham. And it makes my experience perfect. Oh, sometimes I may fail. I'm a human being. But when you take my life altogether, it becomes perfect. The law didn't do it. The law makes a person miserable. But the mercy of God and the hope that that mercy is based on and the faithfulness of God and the hope that that faithfulness is based on produces joy in my heart. In Hebrews 16:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. What was within the veil? The Holy of Holies was within the veil. So that hope that I have, that confident expectation from God, is an anchor. That means when the trials, the tests, the temptations come in my life, I have hope, and that hope protects me, and that hope encourages me, and that hope causes me to live in convictions, and that hope causes me to live in faith, and that hope causes me to deny ungodliness. Why? Because I have a hope. And it's a confident expectation. And it's not wishful thinking. It's not, oh, I wish God would do something for me. Not like that. It's, I know it will be as God has said, and this is my hope. That all will be as God has said. That if I fail, He is faithful and just to forgive my failure the moment I tell Him, God, I failed. 1 John 1:9, right? That if I have a prayer in Matthew 7:7, He will answer my prayer. If I believe Him for something, then that thing will come about. That is my hope. It is the same hope that I have of heaven. Like if I cannot believe God for an answered prayer, if I cannot believe God for the fulfillment of something in my life, how do I know I'm going to heaven? It's the same God who gave all of those. But I have a confident expectation of heaven, and I have a confident expectation for my life, and I have a confident expectation for the details of my life. Because it's all the same hope. It's all the same God, and it's all the same plan, and it's all the same design and the same planner, and it's all finished. It's all been finished. It's the same finished work. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, there are three things that are given. Work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Work of faith. Faith will produce an action. This is how hope works. Faith will produce, if I have a confident expectation, it will produce an action. Right? It will produce an action. It may produce a decision in me, perhaps to do nothing, but it's still an action. I wait on God. This is why young people can be pure. Because it produces a decision in them, because they have a confident hope that God will bring the right person to them in the right time. And so they do not have to strive and be anxious and upset, and they do not have to go after lust, because they know that God will be faithful to them and He will bring the right person in the right time, and they can be pure. This is how people stay in their calling, even if there are difficulties. They know that God will be faithful in their difficulties, and that if they stay in their calling, God will answer whatever need it is that they have. Why? Because my God shall supply all my needs. And so I stay in my calling, I don't move, I make that decision. Or maybe I have a call to do something. And God says, this is your call, go do it. Maybe I have a call to be a song leader in a church. And the pastor says, hey, would you be interested in being the song leader of a church? And I get a witness from God. I say, this is my calling, I'm going to go do it. I make a decision because I have a confident expectation from God, even though I may be aware of my own inadequacy or of my own insecurity or of my own limitations. That's not where I'm looking. I'm looking in that confident expectation that I have from God. And God anoints whatever it is that I'm hoping in. If I'm hoping for Him in my call, if I'm trusting Him in my call, then He anoints me in my call. If I'm trusting in Him for my relationships, He anoints me in my relationships. If I'm trusting in Him in the details of my life, He anoints me in the details of my life. And the Holy Spirit is present and working and powerful in me. This is how it works. So I have a confident hope. I don't look to self. I don't trust in the arm of my flesh, my old sin nature, my own natural ability. I don't trust that. I trust His ability for me. And that's where my confident expectation is. His ability towards me. We have love, labor of love. Labor of love, the word labor there means koros in the Greek. And it means endurance in a trial or a difficulty. So if I have love, I have endurance. I don't run, I endure. Why? Because the love of God quickens me in that place and comforts me. And the love of God is my provision there. And the love of God is my source and my assurance that all will be well, no matter what it looks like, all will be well. Because it's the love of God. And those details, maybe somebody is sick or somebody dies. But if somebody is sick or someone is suffering, then I know that they are suffering and that suffering will bring something from God. That somehow I will suffer and He will reward me for it. And He will produce character in me. And then He will reward me in heaven. And I will reign with Christ. This life is not the end. This life is the beginning. Heaven is not the end. Heaven is eternal. But this life is the beginning. You can be 800 years old, like one of the Old Testament early people were, and this life is still the beginning. We are alive in heaven for all of eternity. And so we have hope. So I don't live for this life. I live for the Savior. And there's my hope. And I have endurance because He loves me. And patience. The first characteristic of God's character, patience. It comes from my hope. The patience of hope. If I have hope, I will be patient. Because I have a confident expectation, and when I have a confident expectation, I am not anxious or nervous or doubting or fearful or whatever. I simply have patience and I wait on God and I see His faithfulness work for me. There's power in that. There is power in that. This is how believers become very powerful people in their lives, where they don't worry, they don't fear, where they love people, doesn't matter, good, bad, nice, not nice, whatever, they love people. Why? Because there is a power in them, because there is a hope and a patience and a confident expectation. And I receive that from my Savior through His Word. And the Holy Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, you knew the grace of God in truth. Do you realize what this is saying? This is saying that the fruit and the experience that I will have in heaven starts here. There's my hope. It starts here. That's why Jesus told them to pray as it is in heaven. Right? So let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Because it starts here. So heaven is not just a place far away. Heaven is now. In me. The kingdom of God is within you. Now granted, heaven the place of God, like heaven the physical place, is not here. But the kingdom of God is here. And the benefits of being in the kingdom of God start now. And this is my confident expectation. That as it is in heaven, so it is here on earth. That whatever heaven proclaimed, earth will realize. And there's my hope. Heaven speaks and earth receives. Isn't this how it happened in Genesis chapter 1? Heaven speaks and earth receives. There's my hope. And it starts now. It's not a distant thing. It starts now. God first produces a capacity and a character, and then the result is that I receive something from Him. It starts now. In Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of glory in His inheritance in the saints. So that you may know it, so that you may already start receiving the benefits of that inheritance. Don't you realize that when your confident expectation is in God, you already, while you are on earth, start receiving the benefits of the inheritance that you have in heaven? This is how believers live. And if I'm not living in this, then I'm not living as a believer. Or I may be a believer, but I'm not receiving its benefits. So how do I receive those benefits? I have a confident expectation from Him. It's simple. It's simple. Where does this come from? In Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the God of hope, the God in whom I have confident expectation, may fill you with all joy. So the God in whom I have confident expectation, when I have confident expectation in Him, He starts to fill me with all joy. Why? Because when in that confident expectation, I have my eyes on my Savior, and in the presence of God there is fullness of joy, and I start to know what it means to live in the presence of God. And there I find all joy. There I find happiness in the presence of God. And He fills me with all joy and peace in believing. So I start to have all joy, and because my confident expectation is in Him, I now have joy, and I also have a peace that comes through believing. Because I no longer am anxious, I'm no longer angry or nervous or frustrated or worried or whatever. I'm no longer doubting, no longer whatever those things of the flesh are. I no longer have those. I no longer live in those. Why? Because I have peace that comes from believing, because I have a confident expectation in Him. Now that word there, believing, is in the original language, pisteuin, and it's from pistis, which is the Hebrews 11:1 word for faith. And what is that faith? Well, it says in the Amplified, it is now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, and title deed of those things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. So what it's telling me is that faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's what faith is. This is what we have as believers when we have a confident expectation in Him, and it takes away my fretting. It takes away my worry. It takes away my temptation. It deals with lust patterns. It deals with lust patterns. It removes the effect of them. Because I know that whatever it is, God has something far greater for me. Why? Because I have a confident expectation in Him. And like we said earlier, I have not seen and nor have ear heard what God had prepared for them that love Him, and that is my confident expectation. So I no longer have to worry or fret. I now have peace that passes understanding. That you may abound, grow more and more in that confident expectation through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Proverbs 10 and verse 28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. The hope of the righteous is what makes me happy. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. And the expectation of the wicked shall perish. So what does that tell me? It tells me that if my hope is in my Savior, it makes me happy. It's that simple. I will have gladness. If I do not have hope, expectation, and confidence in my Savior, then I enter into wickedness. And that perishes. That's an expectation unfulfilled. A desire unsatisfied. But when I hope in my Savior, then I get fulfillment and I get gladness. That hope which we see not, in Romans 8:25, the hope for that which we do not see, then we do with patience wait for it. With patience we wait for it. And in Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, but because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Whatever my confident expectation is from God, when it is from God, I will not be ashamed. I will not be discouraged in it, and I will not be disappointed. I will not be ashamed in my confident expectation. But sometimes God will bring me into challenges in it, because faith produces patience, experience, and experience produces love. So God says, okay, have hope. And it'll develop patience. And it'll develop experience. And it'll develop love. And this is how a believer is conformed to the image of God. Zechariah 9:12. Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. When I have hope, I become its prisoner. That's a good prisoner to be. I become the prisoner of hope. I walk in that expectation and I can't depart from it because I have hope. It's not a bad prisoner, it's a good prisoner. I have to serve my Savior because who else is going to love me like my Savior? I have to live in hope because what else will satisfy like the hope that is in God? And now I am His prisoner. And now I am the prisoner of hope. I can be the prisoner of the old sin nature. Because I may trust in the old sin nature, the arm of the flesh. But that doesn't get me anywhere. That disappoints. Or I can have hope and expectation in the Savior. And then it is His love is so sweet. His gentleness is so beautiful. His mercy is so kind. I can't turn anywhere else. Where else would I go? This is why when Jesus asked Peter, "Will you leave also?" in John chapter 6, "Will you leave, Peter?" And Peter said, "Where will I go?" He was a prisoner of hope. Where will I go? You alone have the words of life. Where will I go? And so I am a prisoner of hope. I have a confident expectation. And finally, in Lamentations 3:24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." The Lord is my portion. I will not have hope in anything that is not my portion. If I have hope in something other than the Lord, it is because that thing has become my portion. It's not a good portion if it is not God. And so I have hope because the Lord is my portion. And I have hope in Him. And when I have hope in Him, I will have satisfaction. And I will have fulfillment. And I will have joy. And it makes me happy. You know?